Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. This is what we call a left-footed morning. And a left-footed morning means it's a day when everything works out because, you know, you're just starting a little bit awkward. And so that's where we're at today. We're just starting a little bit awkward. You'll notice that there was no organ music before we started, and that Roberta has either lost an incredible amount of weight, or, but we're asking, and we'll remind you, please pray for Roberta. She had a number of things going on. I talked to her on Thursday. She was having some tests run, but she just wasn't feeling good. And so she said she's not going to be here this morning because of that. Now, whispered to me from the congregation approximately 12 seconds ago, someone said that she was diagnosed with COVID. So I haven't talked to Roberta, but I have no reason to doubt the information that was whispered. And so we'll just go ahead with that. Please keep her in your prayers. She has enough things going on that this is a very serious thing. So keep Roberta in your prayers. Also, Jared Hummer, who runs our media, isn't able to be here today, and his backup is my wonderful, wonderful wife, who is at home in bed with sinus. Somebody put a blender in. It was, yeah. She looked very tired when I left this morning. She's not going to be able to be here. So our wonderful intern, Tammy, everybody wave to Tammy. Tammy's in the back. She's awesome. She's going to be helping us out. She's had some experience with computers, but she looked at ours and went, oh my. And so she's going to be helping us out with pushing the buttons. And so this morning, if there's a little bit of extra lag time, just smile, unless you'd like to be trained on how to run that and be our backup. And that would be wonderful, too. We are continuing to look for volunteers to serve in that capacity. Okay, so several other things that are updates. Remember, our offering boxes are in the entranceway in the lobby. You can put your offerings and your tithes in there. The ladies' Bible study is running on Wednesday mornings, and so keep that in mind. They run 9:15 to about 10:30. They're studying the book of Philippians, and they're also looking for some individuals who would be interested in helping out with the wee ones that come along with mom to the Bible study. They're so cute. But anyhow, we need a little help there. And so contact, you can let me know or more preferably Lori Lee or Kara Melrose, and they'll be kind of putting that schedule together. Remember, Trick or Treat is coming, and we're doing Trunk or Treat on Saturday evening, October the 30th. Basically, it's an opportunity to decorate your trunk, buy lots of candy. The last normal trunk or treat we had about 150 kids come through, so please come prepared. We'll be across the front here, pull across the back blacktop, and then we pull over into the yard with our trunk towards the blacktop, and the kids come, and it's just a ball. We have a grand old time. If for some reason you're not available on Saturday night, October 30th, but your desire to give children chocolate is overwhelming, we will accept donations. You can put them in the church office, and we'll make sure that that candy gets distributed to hungry little children who want to stay up late and eat lots of sugar. So keep that in mind as well. In the entranceway, our Mountain Vision tree is out there. And what that is they have yellow slips on the Christmas tree. You take a yellow slip in the upper right-hand corner. You'll notice that it has a number on it. You take that number over to the podium that's there and sign your name on that corresponding number slot. Then you take the yellow slip, and on it usually is some descriptions for Christmas gifts for individuals in the Valley Head area of West Virginia. And then you purchase them a Christmas gift or two, or whatever you would like, and then wrap it and put that yellow sheet on the outside. Please tape it securely to the outside of that gift and bring it back in here to the church. When you wrap it, yes, by all means, we want them to look pretty and wrapping paper and all of that. But also remember that they get put under the tree, then they get put in a truck, then they get driven to West Virginia, then they get taken off the truck and put under a tree, then they get picked up by Santa Claus before they get handed to a child. And so they, frilly is not always a good option. Pretty is good, frilly, not so much. And those packages, those Christmas gifts, need to be brought back to the church here by November the 28th so that we can get them organized and distributed. Yeah, November, if it says November 1st, I apologize. How do we spell that? Oops. But November 28th, I believe it's 28th in your bulletin as well. We'll go with that date because I know we'll be taking them down in December. So keep those things in mind as we go forward. Remember the Thanksgiving dinner that Mountain Vision does each year. They are doing that again this year. The date just flew out of my head. John, Thanksgiving dinner, 14th or 21st? 14th. Okay. November 14th, we'll have the Thanksgiving dinner, and so we will need volunteers to help prepare that on Saturday, so keep that in mind. If you love turkey, being up to your elbows in turkey, man, have we got a deal for you. And you can see John if you'd be interested in helping out with that. Okay, prayer requests. Just run through them quickly. Remember, Virginia and Dana Brooks, they are both at Westview Manor at this time, and so we praise God for that. They're both getting therapy, Virginia for a broken hip, Dana just to kind of build some strength up, but they are able to be together. Continue to pray for Jeanette Erwick. She is recuperating from COVID, but she's going to have a long travel with her other difficulties. Remember Raymond Clark with double pneumonia. Also remember Marty and Donnie Feliciano. With their various difficulties, Marty with his pacemaker and then Donna with a stroke that has affected her vision. Keep both of them in your prayers. Dick Hahn, as he continues, he's doing some rehabilitation at Worcester Hospital after surgery. I remember the little boy, I spelled it wrong. Is it Jason Keller? The little 5-year-old that needs a heart transplant. Keep him in your prayers. I got an update on Bobby Shutt. Bobby Shutt is home from Worcester Hospital, he's got a couple of blood clots, and he's on oxygen, so keep him in your prayers. A number of people fighting COVID, and a number of folks who've lost loved ones, so keep all of those things in your prayers. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, there's just a lot of folks that are struggling. This has been a very difficult year, and Lord, it seems as though we're on an uphill climb, but we know, Lord, that you are with us all the way. You are with us in the valley of the shadow of death. You are with us when we praise you from the mountaintops and each step in between. For you are there. You've promised to never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, because of that, we know we can make it through. So we thank you for your presence and just ask that you would continue to be with us and encourage us and strengthen us. And Lord, we think of those that we've mentioned that are in need of your healing power. We trust you. We know you always do what is right, what is good. And Lord, we just come before you asking on their behalf that you would touch and heal, that you would enable people to overcome this COVID virus. And Lord, for pneumonia and blood clots, and Lord, you would just give bodies the strength to dissolve the blood clots and clear that excess water from inside our bodies to be able to bring us back to full health. Lord, just watch over them. Be with those that have broken bones and are going through therapy. And Lord, each and every one of us, we know individuals and situations that are in need of your touch. And Lord, today, just hear us as we cry out to you. And Lord, we look forward to how you're going to work. We trust you each and every day. We're so thankful that you stand at our side. Lord, continue to walk with us and work with us. Give us opportunities to share your love and the difference that you've made in our lives with those that we meet, that they might see you at work and be drawn to you. Help us this day to sing your praises and, Lord, to be drawn closer in our relationship with you. Just watch over us this day and all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and welcome. We're going to begin our worship with one of my favorites. You can stand and sing along. All hail the power of Jesus' name. That's it.
Well, I guess that's it.
Darn. Well, shall we do that a cappella?
We can do it a cappella.
Do you want to change the key?
Oh, well, we'll do it.
Okay.
Oh,
that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Beautiful. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing.
To sing my great Redeemer's praise,
my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease.
there's life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Hear him, ye dead, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and weep ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Thank you, Father, for your precious word.
We're going to have to buy a larger altar. There's all there is to it. I love it. All right. You know what? If you know, take the flower and just set it off to the side there. Will that help? Does that give you enough? All right. Wow. We're squeezed in today. You know, sometimes we do get kind of all squeezed in, and sometimes in our lives. And one of the times that sometimes we get squeezed in, do any of you have a baby in your family? Yeah, do you have babies in your family? Yeah, babies are a lot of fun most of the time. And one of the neat things that we have today, do they put your brother or your sister in a little basket-shaped thing, you know, and carry them around? Do they have one of those? I saw one of those right over there. And the little one was inside it, and they were all tucked in, so cool looking. Little babies are fun. A long time ago, in the nation of Israel, they were slaves. And they were slaves to the nation of Israel. Now, the king, nation of Egypt. Now, the Pharaoh got a little nervous about there being too many Israelites. And so he said, what we're going to do is all the little babies that are 2 years old and under, or any of you under 2 years old? Wow. Yeah. And they said all the little boys under 2 years of age were going to be thrown into the Nile River. Yuck, and they would drown. Oh, that's so sick. Those guys were twisted, huh? That wasn't cool at all. We like babies. Well, there was a lady and her son. She said, my son is special, and I'm not going to let him do that. So she put her little baby in a basket, and she set it out on the Nile River where the Pharaoh's daughters often came in the morning. Well, the Pharaoh's daughter found the little baby because he was crying, because little babies do that, they cry, huh? And the Pharaoh's daughter took the baby as her own, and that was so cool. And that little baby grew up to be Moses. And we read scripture just a little bit ago about Moses. Moses became a great man. And he was raised up, and he was the Pharaoh's son, almost. But he said, no. She said, I know I'm an Israelite. And so he went to be with the Israelites, and he eventually was the one who led them to the promised land. So let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you gave us folks like Moses and his mom that put him in a basket and saved his life. And Lord, we're thankful that because of his faith and his willingness to do what you ask him to, that we have this example of what it's like to follow you. And Lord, some of us are adults and some of us are kids, and we really need your help to be faithful to you, to listen to you, and to learn about you. So be with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stay right where you are. Are they going to sing next? Okay. Now we're going to have some fun. One of the things that we do on the third Sunday of the month is we take up an offering, and the kids have buckets. We call it the dollar offering because basically we're just asking you to put a dollar in a bucket. The kids will come around. We do not pass the buckets. They will come to you. They will find you one way or another. If you have an offering that you'd like to give, you can wave it in the air, and the kids will track you down. The offering that we get goes to dig water wells in India and Bangladesh. And so as soon as you get your bucket, you can start going and finding people. Yeah. Wow. They almost cleaned us out of buckets. That's awesome. All right. Come around. Up the outside aisles. We gotten everywhere. Anybody left? We got a waiver down front. Okay. And when you're all done, you can empty your buckets in the well. And then put your buckets back on the front pew. Oh, there's another. That was a last-minute addition there. Okay. It goes in the bucket. Just put it in the well of hope. Yeah. Then you can put your bucket over there on the first pew. All right. I've totally lost my place. Where are we at? What's next? Is the sermon next? It is? Okay. Such a wild... I'm just... that is one of the fun things that we're able to do. The kids get a kick out of it, and looking at your faces, you get a kick out of it too. And we've been able to dig, I don't know, it's well over $5,000 we've been able to use to dig wells in India and in Bangladesh and bring life-giving water to folks that just don't have access another way. They're sometimes hiking for miles in order to get water. And so it's just fantastic to see that. And it throws me a curve. And this week I couldn't remember what was next. And so now I get to preach. That's what they told me. Next thing he said, you preach. And so we're going to go ahead and do that. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about Moses. And we know the basic story of Moses, how he was a little boy and he was put in the reeds. And the Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he was raised as if he was a son of Pharaoh. And the day came when Moses went, you know what? This just isn't who I am. He knew that he was, quote unquote, adopted in so many words. And he said, I know my heritage, and my heritage is to be an Israelite. And so he was trying to figure out how that worked. And he got so upset when an Egyptian was beating an Israelite that he attacked him. And when he attacked him, the Egyptian died. Now, the penalty for killing an Egyptian was death. And so Moses hightailed it into the far beyond, out into the wilderness. And he was there for 40 years. And then God came to him in a burning bush and said, you know, the time has come for you to come back and serve. And Moses said, yeah, but you don't know who I am and what I've done. And God said, yes. They had a whole conversation about it. And one thing led to another, and Moses went back. And then he led the people out of Israel. We've got the 10 plagues and all of that. And then crossed the Red Sea and the dividing of the sea and all the cool miracles and everything that was involved with that. In this great amount of stuff that Moses was then able to do and accomplish, you know, there's a couple of things that faith walk becomes so important to us. That walk of faith, as we see what Moses was able to do, it kind of begins to give us courage and strength. That we can actually do the things that Moses did. Because, yeah, he was just an average Israelite. He was not special. Other than he was willing to follow God. He was raised in luxury, which was awesome. But then he became a slave and then out and actually made a way for himself in the wilderness. If you want to go ahead and put up my slides there. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Hebrews 11 tells us that Moses made the decision because of faith. So where did Moses hear the word of God? How did he know? Well, a cool thing happened when Moses was a baby and the Pharaoh's daughter said, you know, was taking him in. They looked for someone who would be able to take care of Moses while he was little. And they actually picked Moses' mom to come into the palace to be able to raise her own son in the Pharaoh's court. And what that mom did was instill in that very young Moses the history of where he came from, and that he was a special young man to be able to do great things. These things continued to well up within him throughout his life, and to the point where he looked at Pharaoh and said those wonderful words, no, or at least in the Arne Kaufman translation. he said no to being Pharaoh's son, to being the chosen. He decided he wanted to be an Israelite. You know, I look at my own life and growing up, and my mom and my dad took me to church every Sunday. And I'd love to tell you that it was picture perfect, but the truth of the matter is, I sat in the pew every Sunday with my father, and in order for my father to stay awake, he would pinch me. He would put his hand on the back of my head and just push a little bit. So all my little muscles would be straining to be able to stand up, and then he would leave go, and my head would bang the back of the pew, and then he would give me dirty looks. I'm thinking, it's his fault! But you know what? Regardless of the situation, what really made the difference was the fact that I was there week after week, Sunday after Sunday, year after year. The stories, the accounts, and to be able to see the lives lived of other people and how God had worked with them. So Moses' mom impressed upon him those things and the way that God works. And Moses, as he grew up, those things became near and dear to his heart. And his relationship with God got to the place where he wanted to serve God. And if that meant he couldn't be in Pharaoh's house, then so be it. And Moses ended up out in the desert. There's a neat thing here. If you look at Moses' life, his first 40 years, he was in Pharaoh's house. His second 40 years, he was in the wilderness running away from the Pharaoh. And the last 40 years, he was leading God's people out of Egypt to the promised land. Kind of neat how that all kind of breaks down, 40, 40, and 40. All of a sudden, I feel young again. Because, yeah, I'm only 20 years into, you know, phase two, so I got a long ways to go. I'm almost halfway, and that would be awesome. But you know what? If we're really going to follow God, there's some things that we really do need to say no to. The first of those things are that we have to say no to the world in which we live. The world in which we live is full of so much stuff, so much, I don't know, call it yuck. I don't know really how to say it better, but it's got so many distractions for us. Now, I'm not going to say the internet's bad because I use it all the time. There's some great stuff on the internet, but you got to watch where you go. You can get tripped up. I mean, I'll be honest, here not long ago, I looked for pictures for backdrops to sermons and that kind of stuff, and I wanted to go to Cabela's. And so I typed in Cabela's to be able to go to Cabela's. And, you know, everybody knows it's Cabela's. You know, I'm going there for hunting stuff. So I did the search, and the first thing came up, Cabela's. I clicked on it. You know, if you don't spell Cabela's correctly, it takes you places that I didn't know existed. Now, tonight, if any of you are trying to spell Cabela's wrong to find out where I went, there's something wrong with you. Do not go down that rabbit hole. But I mean, those things happen. There's a lot of things out there that are pitfalls. There's a lot of things we have to learn how to say no. And just because it's no for me, it doesn't mean that it's no for you. I mean, there are rules and principles that God puts in his words that says these things are bad for us and we need to stay away from them. But there's also some gray area. You know, I think one of the gray areas that gets talked about so much in our world is alcohol. I mean, and it comes in, and the Bible says don't get drunk. Okay, that's the really dark black line that says, don't do that. So if you ask me if it's okay to get drunk, I'm going to look at you like you got lobsters crawling out of your ears. Because no, it's not okay. But at the same time, There are some individuals that like a little bit of wine with their meal, and I get that. Okay. I mean, Jesus turned the water into wine. I mean, it's not a problem. But what we need to say is there is a line that's dark. For me, I just as soon not get anywhere as close to it. It's easier to stay away from that line than I don't have to worry about where it is. And that's kind of been fortunate. I've been able to do that all my life. I am not tempted to drink that stuff because it, to me, tastes bad. Please, do not feel that as a challenge to find something good that Pastor Arnie will like, because I don't want to even go down that road. But it's a different area. It's a different spot for me than it is for you. It's okay. You know, we work with that. Where are the boundaries? You know, I was driving my car the other day, and as I was going down the road, there were guardrails. And it looked like there was a real pretty valley going out. And so I got over a little closer to the edge so that I could maybe see. And the next thing you know, my tires started doing that wiggle thing that happens when you're coming off the pavement and onto the berm, and quickly got back over where I was supposed to be, because I knew if I kept going over there, eventually I might touch the guardrails. And if I touch the guardrails, there's a possibility they may or may not hold, and I might go to that place that I was wanting to see, but not quite that close. You see, guardrails are put up so that we don't go over the edge. They're put up so that there is a border so that we can stay in that safe spot. We put up boundaries. And Moses had to look at his world and say, where are my boundaries? What is okay? Where is it that I need to be? And in doing that, he had to say no to the world. He had to say no to some of the pleasures of living in Pharaoh's house. He had to pull back. And as he did so, you know, eventually he was able to lead the people out of the promised land. As a man told me, he had to make a choice. He made good money. He was a salesman for a major soda company. And it was his job to convince large companies, you know, to buy their soda, put it in their pop machines, all that good stuff. And apparently part of that job required him to take customers to the bar, and then he would just pick up the tab for whatever alcohol they wanted to drink. And he really liked the money of the job, but one day he took a hard look at what he was doing, and he was actually integral in causing other people to drink in excess. And he said, you know what? I can't do that anymore. I don't want to be the one that actually enables others to do things and step over that line, because drunkenness is not okay. So he had to pull back. He had to make a decision of how he was going to live his life. Did it have ramifications? Yeah. Yeah, it did. Did he lose some customers? Oh, yeah. Was his boss mad? You can count on it. But he could look in the mirror and see the guy that was there. And he knew, I'm doing the right thing. Moses, in his first attempt to do the right thing, ended up killing an Egyptian soldier. And he had to flee the country. It's not always a happy ending when you choose to do the right thing. It's not always ribbons and roses whenever we make that decision to say no to the world. But we still need to say no to the world. The second thing I see here in the faith walk of Moses is that if we walk by faith, we need to realize it's not faith if we hide it. Now, let me explain that. Moses was trying to do the right thing, and he goes out and he attacks the Egyptian who was beating a fellow Israelite, and he ends up killing the Egyptian. And what does Moses do in that situation? He buries the Egyptian in the sand. I don't know about you, but I buried some things in the sand. It's not real smart. The sand quickly seems to blow away, or something always happens. And the next thing you know, that which you were trying to hide is exposed. And when we're trying to hide it, by definition and by motivation, we know we really didn't act by faith, or we wouldn't have to hide it. It just kind of works that way. There's so much in life. If we're trying to hide certain things in our lives, then we've got a faith problem, or, and most likely, an absence of faith. I get asked sometimes, how do you get in so many conversations with individuals about God? And I said, well, it's really easy. I mean, God has blessed me. Because if you meet somebody and you strike up a conversation, even if it's in the checkout line at Walmart, what you do for a living seems to come up. And if they don't ask me, I just jump right in and ask them what they do. You know, well, I'm a homemaker. Oh, great. You know, that's an honorable thing to do. And how are the kids? And you chit-chat. And they have to ask you what you do for a living. You tell them, well, I'm a pastor. You know what? 3/4 of the time, you can see them instantly go into introspection because there's something they wanted to ask a pastor. And their eyes get all funny and their forehead wrinkles. And if you just wait for a moment, they'll go, you know, I've been wanting to ask a pastor. And all of a sudden it comes out. Now, the tough part is sometimes they ask really difficult questions. Sometimes not. But it seems to always come up because it's easy. Now, I also remember when I wasn't a pastor, and it didn't take too much. What I found, I'm going to go ahead and share this. Yesterday, the Acostas, they are work for our denomination for starting churches with Hispanic congregations, and they've been in Venezuela and Latin American countries, and they're working with us because we see that as an unreached people group, even in Ohio. And so they were kind of sharing, and they came up with this concept, and it just rings so true to me. There's two types of individuals in church. There are Christians, and everybody goes, but you see, it seems to me that Christians are consumers. They show up, they want something, and then they go back home. Now, it's not that they're terrible people. I mean, don't get me wrong, but they're Christian consumers. And then there's something else called disciples and discipleship. And discipleship is you come for the purpose of giving to one another. That when you gather together, you've got something to give away, and you look for opportunities to give it away. It would be kind of like if you won the lottery, and let's just say Pastor Arnie wins. I don't play, but let's just say Pastor Arnie wins the lottery, and instantly he has, I don't know what, $200 million or some ridiculously huge amount of money. I would gladly pay my taxes. And so I have all of this, and I want to give it away, you know. And so you walk around looking for people to give it to, you know, and you just start down through the congregation. It's like, Alita, could you use $100 here? Oh, you want two?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and just walk around, just give them money. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, if you had $1 bazillion and you could just give it away, wouldn't that be a blast? I mean, wouldn't it be cool? I know somebody said, yeah, and then pretty soon everybody would be lining up to get, only do it on Sunday mornings in church. You got to listen to my sermon or you get nothing. I mean, but it's one of those things. You had this to give away. It wouldn't take anything, and soon there would be a following of people that you could give it away to, and it would be wonderful. But the gift of salvation, the gift that God has given to us, as disciples, we receive that, and we go, I ought to give this away. Now, I found something, that if you say, hey, I'm giving Jesus away, people don't necessarily flock to you. But what I found is people that are disciples are individuals that find ways to give Jesus away. That's what we want. We want the world to know we have something that they need and that we're willing to give it to them if they're willing to listen. And I have found in checkout lines and all kinds of places that there's a lot of people that are willing to listen. We just have to be prepared so that we can give them the Jesus that loves us. Because the younger generation, not all of you young people can just plug your ears, do whatever you want to, but the younger generation does not want Jesus because, well, he's wonderful and cool and forgives you of your sins. I mean, that's nice, but that's not, they want to know why. They want to know how. They want to be able to see it in action in some way, because I can get on board with that. This telling me philosophy and theology, you know, that's all good stuff, but until we make that commitment, I'm just not there. I need something that I can get my hands on. Give me something that's going to help me move from where I am and help me out in my situation. How's this work? And it means we got to kind of crawl in the mud with them. And we've got to kind of be with them and say, well, it's this way. Let me show you. And see, disciples are willing to do that. And we need to be willing for others to see that faith in us and not hide it. It'd be so easy to hide it. There are times even pastors are tempted to hide it. I don't realize how far I'm in the conversation, and they come up with, well, what do you do? And I'm going, you know, supper's going to be ready in 8 minutes, and if I'm not home, Lynn's going to string me up. I really don't have time to tell you about Jesus, so I'm going to tell you, well, I'm a salesman. You know, and no, you don't hide it. You need to allow it to come to the surface. And when I get home and Lynn says, you know, supper's burnt, why were you so late? I was telling someone about Jesus. Oh, man, she just slaps me. No, it doesn't work that way. We laugh. We enjoy. We giggle at what God is doing. And we become amazed by him. Faith isn't faith if we hide it. Third, this morning, you know, we need to know that God loves us anyway. And it's just so cool because in this account, we have Moses. Moses, great guy. You know, averts that whole drowning thing, raised in Pharaoh's. Yeah, he kills a guy, runs off into the desert. And God says, look, Moses, I want you to go back and set my people free. He's a murderer. He's guilty. And he says right there in the Bible, he did it. Doesn't try to cover it up at all. He's a murderer. How many murderers do we have? No, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't know of any. but it's one of those things. He was a murderer, and God says, I'm going to use you. And he brings him back, and he becomes the individual, a murderer, that leads God's people to the promised land. God can use each and every one of us. And I've been told by a number of individuals, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't. But I haven't come across anything that's been too big for God to forgive. There's nothing that's been so big that God can't take care of it. And right here, Moses was a murderer. He uses him. But, Pastor, you don't know. And I said, well, let's go to David. I mean, he was a murderer and an adulterer. And God used him. How far you want to stretch this? I mean, it's one of those things. It's not about what we've done. It's about whether or not we're willing to accept his forgiveness. This morning at the Wharton Church of God. There's a young man, his first name's Tornado, and Tornado is an interesting individual, but he's a pastor there. He's the associate at Wharton right at the moment. Tornado got out of prison last summer for 30 years. And while he was there, God touched his heart, changed a man from what he was into something new. He began to study, he got his GED, and then he went on to college, and he finished college, and then he went on to do seminary work. And now he's out of prison, and he's working at a church and doing some really, really cool things in Wharton. God can use us. We have to be willing to be used by him because he just loves us. You know, Jesus loves us. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. The little ones, they belong to him. You and I belong to him, and he loves us. And he's trying to tell us through the account of Moses that God's not going to change. God's not going to move. God's going to be right where he is. He's going to love us. Will we accept that love? Will we accept that forgiveness that we might be used by him? Who knows? Maybe to lead someone to the promised land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your ongoing love for us. And Lord, we can never know the full extent of your love, for it continues to flow from you. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch and change our hearts and connect us to you in such a way that your forgiveness would flow over every part of our lives, that we'd be able to live our lives in such a way that the world would see the difference that you've made in us, and we would be able to point people to the promised land, because, Lord, we know you want to use us. So help us to be willing to be used by you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And as we say no to the world, let's say yes to the immortal, invisible, God only wise. Please stand.
This place. May God's hand continue to be upon us, to guide us and direct us, that the changes that he makes within us might be seen by the world, that they might be drawn to him. Amen.